You have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. So we're going to be. If you are new here, my name is Jeremy. I work here. And we generally on Sunday mornings are walking verse by verse through books of the Bible. It's kind of how we preach around here. And this year we're going to be looking at five different books or letters that Paul wrote, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, and 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And so excited about learning about these things and growing in this. I think it's going to be a good time of joy, a good time of celebration as we look at some stuff. If you like to fill in blanks, you can grab this little card if you got one coming in. A couple things to tell you as we jump into this passage. Number one, there's two really famous verses in Philippians, okay? One of them is Philippians 1:21. The other one's Philippians 4:13. We have the first one today, to live as Christ and to die as gain, all right? In a few weeks, like 12, we'll get Philippians 4:13, which is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, which is unfortunately not about your favorite athletic team, an eye black, but it's good news. It's better news than that, okay? It's better than that. And so, anyway, the first one is this, Philippians 1:21, to live as Christ and die as gain. And I would remind you of this. I'm going to be reminding you of this for the next 14 weeks, that what we see in Paul here, we see Paul doing things. We see Paul saying things. We see Paul feeling a certain way. And the goal for that is to do what he tells us to do, where he says to imitate him or to follow him as he follows Christ. When you see Paul's heart in these things, you see what Paul encourages us to do, or we see in him, the goal isn't to be like, oh, that's cool. Paul seems like a super dude. Yeah. And we should live this way as followers of Jesus ourselves. And so I hope you can see that and hope we can learn about that together. We'll read Philippians 1, 18b to verse 26. Paul says, yes, and I will rejoice. Remember, Paul's in prison here, okay? He says, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether in my by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. But what shall I choose? I cannot tell. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Man, good news here. Hope we can walk through these things and learn these things together. But the things I want you to see mainly in Paul and the things he's confident in, okay? Number one is this. Paul is confident that he will be delivered from the situation that he's in. He says in verse 19, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Christ Jesus, this will turn out for my deliverance. Now, the thing I would point to you about Paul's confidence in the fact that he's going to be delivered from this prison cell, he is not confident in himself, and he's not confident in his government in Rome. Paul doesn't find his confidence in the government or in Rome. He doesn't find his confidence in himself. Paul's confidence is in God, right? That's the only confidence Paul has, is that God himself, through the prayers of his people and the Spirit of Christ Jesus, that he will be delivered from the situation he finds himself in. And then secondly, which goes with this, Paul says that he's confident that Christ is going to be honored, whether it be in his life or in his death. Go back and look at verse 19 and 20. He says, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Christ, Jesus Christ, and this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not at all be ashamed, but will, that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. This isn't, again, this isn't a coffee mug kind of verse here. Paul's not saying, it's not a name and claim it thing here for Paul. He's not like, I believe, so it's going to happen. Paul says, I do believe that God is going to protect me, God's going to be with me, and Christ is going to be honored in me. And then the line that none of us are comfortable with is, whether by life or by death. Paul's like, what if I live, Christ is going to be honored in me. And if I die, Christ is going to be honored in me. Christ being honored is Paul's goal. Like, if I'm in prison, my goal is getting out. right? Like, that's number one goal, not being in jail anymore. Not Paul's number one goal. Paul's number one goal is Christ would be honored, right? Either by life or by death. And then we get to this great line, verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I thought in my mind of three other places that Paul says some pretty remarkable things in this very vein. I wanted to share them with you. He says, in 2 Corinthians 5, he says, from now on, therefore, we regard no one in accordance to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ in accordance with the flesh, or according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. Galatians 2, 20 and 21. He says, I've been crucified with Christ. These would be great verses to memorize as you memorize Philippians as well. I've been crucified with Christ, he says, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. In the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And he says, verse 21, I do not nullify, or the NIV says, set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, then Christ died for nothing. Christ died for no purpose, which, just to speak into our Southern cultural Christianity, okay? He's saying here, if you think that you're going to go to heaven one day and God's going to let you in because you're a good person, you're wrong. But if you were right, then Christ shouldn't have died. If righteousness could be attained through the law or through doing good things, if you could get to heaven by being a good person, then Christ shouldn't have died. If there was any other way for you to get there, Christ was crazy for dying. There is no other way there, okay? There is no other way. And in Colossians 3, he says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not the things on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory. So for you to live is Christ, and for you to die is gain. And if I'm honest with you, there's a lot of days I don't believe either one of those statements. Okay? There's a lot of time in my life and in my heart that I don't believe either one of those. Okay? To live is Christ. To live is Christ. That the focus of my life is Jesus. Let's be honest. That's not the focus of our lives a lot of times. The focus of my life is me. The focus of my life is my children, my wife, my job. And that can get weird because I work at a church. What is your life's goal? What is your life's ambition? That is what you're living for. And Paul says for him to live is Christ. For some people, their whole life, everything is for to get to vacation. It's to get to this thing or get to that thing, right? I know a man that I've known for 20 years that today is losing his family. He's walking away from his wife and his children. Because he has one goal, and that's to retire as quickly as possible. His only goal in life is to save enough money so that he doesn't have to work anymore. And it's costing him his wife and his children, and he's okay with that. For him to live is to retire. And look, that's real easy for me to look at him and be like, well, that guy's an idiot. When sometimes I can't see the forest for the trees in my own life, right? That I, too, can be so infatuated with whatever it is. And look, many of the times, it's good things. It's good things that we should enjoy but have become preeminent in our hearts. They are the number one thing we're concerned about. And where Paul says, for him to live is Christ. However many days the Lord gives me, it is going to be live for Jesus. And then he says something else I think we don't believe. To die is gain. Now I think the older you get, the more you believe that. But I know when you're young, right? I remember when I was young, I was like trying to make deals with God. Like, could you wait and not come back till after I get married? You know, stuff like that. Some of y'all thought that before. Right? We like, and here, functionally, we don't believe heaven is better. Right? We don't believe to die is gain. And I think we need to believe that more and more and more. We need to see the truth of what heaven is going to be. That we don't allow culture to speak into what heaven is like. You're not going to be a baby with a diaper playing a harp on a cloud like a Precious Moments figurine. All right? And about three times a year, I like to remind you, you're not going to be, heaven's not going to be like what a country song tells you is going to be like. Like, if you don't know how heaven could be better than laying in bed with your girlfriend, then you haven't read your Bible, okay? There aren't holes in the floor of heaven. God is not looking for angels to help pour out the rain. And heaven ain't a lot like Dixie, but you still want to go, okay? I promise you, you're going to want to go. But think about it. Like, if that is what is being spoken into my mind about heaven, then I'm not going to believe that it's gain. Paul had a completely different perspective, though. For him to live was Christ, and he knew to die was going to be gain. And so here's what I would tell you. I struggle with believing these things, okay? I struggle with believing them and living as if I believe them. And so I'm not saying if you struggle with them, because I think if you're a Christian, you struggle with them. When you struggle with them, and since you struggle with them, we should take on the heart of the father of the man that Jesus healed, or the boy that Jesus healed with the unclean spirit. In Mark chapter 9, verse 22, Jesus has come to him. This father's talking to Jesus. The boy has an unclean spirit living in him. And the father says to Jesus, and it has often, this unclean spirit has cast this boy into the fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, Jesus, please have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus is really kind to this man. And Jesus says to him, if you can, all things are possible with those who believe. Jesus, if? Oh, I can do something. And the father's honest response to Jesus should be our prayer. I believe, help my unbelief. Right? Like, I believe to live as Christ and to die as gain. But Lord, help me in my unbelief of that. Help me to believe that more. I believe, help my unbelief. One of the songs we sing around here, Jesus is Better, it's got this, is that the bridge, Josh? I don't know what you'd call that. It's the bridge, okay. Musical. It's confessional. We say, in all my sorrows, Jesus is better. And then we repeat this refrain, make my heart believe. In every victory, Jesus is better. Make my heart believe. Meaning this, I believe this, help my unbelief, right? I believe to live as Christ and to die as gain. Lord, help my unbelief. Oh, for grace, we pray, to trust him more. So two prayers that I wrote down when I think about to live as Christ and to die as gain, when I don't believe those things, two simple prayers for me to pray are this. Lord, help me believe that Jesus really is better than anything this world has to offer. I believe that. Help me believe that. Help my unbelief. And Lord, help me believe that help me believe that what you have in store for us in death will be incomparable to what you've given us in life. It'll be so good, you can't even compare it. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Look at verse 22. Paul says, if I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. The thing I want you to get away from this, which is convicting for me, was that Paul is confident both in the Lord's plan and in the Lord's timing. Paul is confident in the Lord's plan, that God's plans are perfect, and in the Lord's timing, that God's timing is perfect. Now, if I'm honest with you, I don't have as much issue trusting in the Lord's plan as I do in the Lord's timing, right? I'm like, God, I know you got this, but I also know you're busy, so I'm going to just help you out on on this. I know you got a lot going on. Right, help us to trust, not just in the Lord's plan, but trust His time. Because we are an impatient people that want, I tell you that, I'm very impatient. I did not realize how impatient I was till I had a wife and children. Then I found out I'm way more impatient than I thought I was. All right? I want things, I want it right. I just down the line, baby. I want it right. It's not hard to do it. Just do it right. Do it now. All right? And sometimes I take my idea of that and I put it on God. And I don't trust God's timing. I don't trust that God's already got this worked out. But Paul does. Paul says here, man, he says, look, if I'm gonna live in the flesh, I'm great with that. It means more fruitful labor for me. If the Lord wants to take me home, it's fine. He can take me home if he wants to. I'm gonna believe that he wants me to be here because I think it's gonna be more beneficial for you that I do that. But you see Paul's heart that he trusts God's plan and he trusts God's timing. I love this quote. I heard it when I was in college. The man of God in the will of God is immortal till his work on earth is done. That we can trust God's plan and God's time, both in the small things and in our lives. That he is, in his book, is written the days of our life even before one of them came to be, Psalm 139. Right? I can trust God's plan. I can trust God's time, both in when these pieces are going to work together and in general how God is going to move and work in my life. I can trust his plan. I can trust his time. Verse 25 and 26, and we're done. Convinced of this, Paul says, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. What is the purpose of God keeping Paul alive? Two things. For your joy and progress in the faith, and two, so that you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus. Paul says, I am confident that one of the reasons that God is keeping me alive is for your progress, to the people in Philippi, your progress and joy in the faith. What does that mean? It means this. Paul says, God's plan for me is to help you follow Jesus better. God is leaving me here so that I can help you progress in your faith, which will cause you to progress in the joy that you have in Christ. I am here because God is leaving me here to help you follow Jesus better, to progress in your faith. And can I speak to the over 40 crowd in the room for a second? I'm in the over 40 crowd, all right? I'll wear it like a badge now. People don't treat me like a boy preacher anymore because I'm 40, all right? But to the over 40s, and what if we make it our aim for however many days the Lord gives us that we're going to invest the gospel in the generation that's behind us, that we're going to spend our lives for the progress and joy of their faith, that I'm going to help middle school kids that can't figure their bodies out. I'm going to help high school kids that don't know what to do with these feelings. I'm going to help them understand what it looks like to follow Jesus. That I'm going to help college students that some of them don't know where to go or what they're going to do, and some of them already think they know everything, okay? But I'm going to help them figure out what it looks like to follow Jesus, to progress in their faith. I'm going to help young married couples that have had a kid and their whole world has been turned upside down. They don't know what it's like to sleep in 2-hour increments, you know, for the next 6 months. I'm gonna help them understand this is gonna be all right. And what a blessing God's given you and your kids. What if, right? What if we just decided that I'm gonna do what Paul does. I'm gonna be convinced of this fact that one of the reasons God is leaving me here is not to build a bigger 401k or whatever else it is. One of the reasons that God is leaving me here, nothing against 401ks, I'm not against that, I'm just saying, what if we kept in our minds that it is for the joy and progress of the faith of the generation behind us that the Lord is leaving us here? And you that are in your 20s or in your 30s, you can get in on that as well, okay? You can help disciple college students. You can help disciple middle school and high school students. You can help in kids ministry, okay? You can help to see those little hearts and those little seeds be planted and see God water them and grow them and their little faiths progress and their joy increase in Jesus Christ. That's what Paul says his goal is. Why is God leaving Paul here? To see their faith and their joy continue to grow in Jesus. And all of that is for what goal? So that they would be able to have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus. Paul ain't trying to leave a legacy of Paul. The goal of Paul isn't to be able to talk about how many churches he planted, or how much work he did, or how many disciples he made. Paul's goal is that people would have cause to glory in Jesus. He says, I want to see your faith grow. I want to see you progress in your faith and in your joy in Jesus so that you would be able to say, man, this is how great our God is. He is moving and working and causing these things to work together for his good. He's even taken idiot people like me and helped me understand the goodness of who he is. And man, Paul says the goal there is the glory, that you would have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus. And what a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing. The takeaways are this, and we're done. If you don't know Jesus Christ, maybe you've been playing a religious game, and maybe you haven't been playing anything at all, we would want you to understand that Jesus really is better than anything this world has to offer you. There's nothing that this world can give you that compares to Jesus, right? And there's nothing that's going to satisfy your soul. There's no pleasure that's going to satisfy your soul the way Jesus will. And so if you've never trusted Christ, our encouragement to you would be that you would confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead so that he would forgive you your sins and save you. And if you want to talk to somebody about that, you're more than welcome to talk to us, either after the service or you can send me an email, jeremy@capstonechurch.org. We can get some coffee this week or next week or something just to sit down and talk through what it looks like to follow Jesus, okay? If you are following Jesus, here's my prayer for you. It's my prayer for me. That we see what God's doing in Paul and we would say, God, would you do that in me? Like, would you help me be more confident in what you're doing? Would you help me trust that you're going to work these things out, whether by life or by death? Would you help me to believe that to live is Christ and to die is gain? Would you help me to trust your plan and your timing? And while you leave me here, whether that's for another 4 days or another 50 years, God, help me be a person that lives in such a way that I am helping other people that are following Jesus progress in their faith with joy so they in turn would have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus. And what if we did that? I think we do that, okay? But what if we did it more? What if we committed ourselves to that? I think there's no end to what the Lord might do in us and through us. And so I'm praying that we will indeed live in that light. Would you join me as we pray together? God, I do thank you for this morning. Thank you for your chance to celebrate what you're doing, God, in our church and in our lives and in other ministries, God, how you're moving and working. And Lord, I pray the things we see in Paul, that you, by the power of your Spirit, would do them in us. For men and women in the room that have not trusted Christ, I pray today they would hear the singing of your gospel, to hear the reading and preaching of it, and they would see, God, your Spirit would help them to see that you are good. And that there's nothing in this world that compares to you. And I pray they would put their hope and their faith in Jesus. For those of us who do know you and are walking with you, God, I pray you would help us believe that to live is Christ. There's nothing this world is going to compare to Jesus. Help us to live in light of that. And God, help us to long for heaven, to believe that you, what you have in store for those that love you cannot even be compared to the good things we've experienced here. It will be that much better. And Lord, as you leave us here, may we be a people that as we follow you, we help others progress in their faith in the joy of the gospel. Lord, I don't know what your Spirit's doing in the hearts of your people today, but I pray that whatever you lead us to do, we would be obedient to follow in faith to do the things you've called us to do. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.